Welcome back to the ISCN Smart City Dialogue Podcast, the podcast for international knowledge and practice exchange on common good-oriented smart city development. I'm your host, Enoch, and in this episode, we're talking with two fantastic guests from Germany about something that makes the smart city visible and tangible for each one of us in everyday life, and quite literally so, because you can access it on your smartphone. I'm talking about smart city apps and ways in which municipalities present themselves through the most ubiquitous interface. We look at one such project developed in the German funding program for model project Smart City, which has been replicated already by many, many municipalities. We hope you like it. Let's dive right into it. I'm beyond excited to have with me today Konrad and Philipp here. Just briefly, who are you and what do you do in real life? Hi.
Hello and thanks for the invitation. I'm Konrad Traupe. I work with the municipalities on digital innovation and help coordinate the community behind the Smart Village app, where different towns and districts collaborate to develop and use the platform together. I used to be the project lead in the first municipality that launched the Smart Village app, the town of Bad Belzig, south of Berlin and Potsdam.
Hi, I'm Philipp Wilimczyk. I'm the managing director of Smart Village Solutions, SVS, and we are the company who are building the Smart Village app and who have been developing this project for over 7 years now.
Fantastic. Great to meet you. And I'll come straight to the point as a starter, hand on heart or Hand aufs Herz, as we say in German. How often do you actually open your Smart Village app, guys?
Well, to be honest, in my case, I probably use it in a very different way from most people. I don't only open one specific version of the app as a citizen. I open several versions per day as someone who helps coordinate the community and the editors behind the single app versions. I look at it regularly to understand how municipalities are using it, where things work really well and where they still struggle or where there's friction. For me, the apps are not just a product, they're a learning platform for how local governments can collaborate.
Right. What about you, Philipp?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as a developer, I look at the apps every day and also with a certain eye. But what I really found interesting when speaking to regular users of the app is that they told me, well, I'm not opening it every day, but I know it is there and I can use it whenever I have a question and whenever I have something to tell or want to share something with my neighbors, then I use this. And I think this is the crucial point. It doesn't have to be that you use it every day, but it's just something that is there and it will help you to approach your city. I always think it's a little bit like a key, you know, it's the key to your city, to your neighborhood, to your neighbors. And if it's there just in the moment when you need it, that's fine. So we are not tracking daily usages, but more on which occasions are really the crucial points.
Right. Yeah, that's already a super interesting point. It's not about using it all the time per se, but when it's useful, of course. So maybe more generally, what is the Smart Village app actually in general? Can you describe it a bit more? What are some of the features? Which of those are maybe most popular? How does it look actually from the viewpoint of a citizen?
The Smart Village app is first of all a digital platform that helps municipalities communicate with their citizens and provide local services and information. And the typical features include local news, local events, citizen services, or to say services from the town hall of the municipalities, mobility information, or in some cases also marketplaces. But the key idea is not just the app itself, it's that municipalities can reuse the same platform and develop it together instead of each city building its own solution from scratch, following open source and new sovereignty standards. And when it comes to special components of the app, I'd like to give the microphone to Mr. Walimczyk, who has developed quite a lot of them, not to say all of them.
Yeah, thanks, Konrad. For us, we always have two perspectives when we think about how we want to go on and develop the app. The one perspective is the one of the citizen, the normal user, and they always say we don't want to have 10 apps doing several things. We want to have something that we always call the one-stop shop, everything combined in just one app, which makes it obviously quite challenging to put everything into one app, but still, this is the idea. We have over 50 modules now. Konrad already mentioned some, and I think this is a very powerful. There's not one killer feature, but it's the combination of so many different things, like news, events, waste collection reminder, participation tools, marketplaces, and everything, all that. And then on the other hand, we have the municipalities and the administrative staff, and they obviously, they have different roles. So you have maybe the one who's doing, who's focusing on local business development and is asking, what can I do to help my local business owners and restaurant owners, maybe to promote their offers and their products. And then maybe you have the mayor who has some kind of political agenda and wants to reach out to his voters and maybe convince them on a new initiative, something like that. Maybe you have some social worker who is offering youth services and starting a new youth club and wants to target young people. So there are so many different perspectives and so many use cases that are all combined in this one thing. And that is why it has grown so much over the last years.
And one example I stumbled upon during the last community call is that one municipality near the River Rhine, and it's the municipality of Linz am Rhein, has introduced a flood warning system that informs citizens via push notifications when water levels of the Rhine are rising and riverside streets might be closed for commuters planning to drive to work for the next day. And what's interesting about it is that the quantity of users has increased by 3 times because of this new feature, which shows that this new feature and the information given by this feature is actually a very important information for everyday life of commuters and of citizens in this community or in this municipality, which is a strong indicator, as I would say. And also, as I think, a very interesting example, as it has to see with catastrophe warning and yes, very important information.
I like that point very much. Yes. Yeah. So it seems to me it's really a two-way road, right? So in one direction, really the municipality through the app talks to citizens, but of course, looking at their user behavior, maybe also at user rates, we get a better understanding of what is really particularly interesting and important to citizens. Yeah. One of the reasons I think I also invited you guys over and why this case is so interesting also in the context of the International Smart Cities Network is because it really embodies, I think, the more general and great hope that whatever is developed in publicly funded smart city programs, all those solutions, the big hope is that they will be reused and replicated by others. And this is something that for the Smart Village app already is really the case. This did work out, you know, and we can be frank, you know, it doesn't work, of course, for every of the solutions that are developed with public money, but then some really take off, so to speak. And I think the Smart Village app is really one of those intriguing examples. How many actually have followed suit in adopting the Smart Village app so far? How did that even happen? You know, what's behind this success story? Can you maybe lead us a bit through this growth of adoption?
Well, thanks for the question. The answer is still also giving me thrills every now and then, because it's a success story I never imagined when I first saw the app in 2020. And today, the Smart Village app is used by 51 municipalities across Germany. The last municipality that launched the app and made it accessible for the city, for their citizens, is Augsburg, a rather big city in Bavaria, which also means that one municipality in a new federal country has chosen the app as well. And the number is still growing, more will follow. And what made this possible is that the solution was designed from the beginning to be reused, and was always following open source standards, and is enabling the municipalities to use their own CI, to use their own logos, and to have a very individual version of the Smart Village app that is then called Augsburg app or Bad Belzig app, and gets this local coloration, to say. And instead of a single city building something only for itself, for themselves, the idea was, let's make it open and allow others to adopt and adapt it.
I would add that I think one key element of the success is this very open and very productive partnership that we have with the municipalities. And at Belzig was the first town to develop the Smart Village app. And when we started 7 years ago, nobody really knew where the product was heading. And it was obviously a very experimental project. And we were happy that the mayor of Bad Belzig at that time was very open to ideas and to try out things. And obviously, sometimes you develop something that is not working and that is not reaching the target audience. And so I think the possibility to make errors, and but then also to have the time to fix these errors and to learn from it and to grow is very important. And also, for I think it was quite important that this project, it is open source and it is for a public good, and it is for municipality, but also for us as a company, it is also a growth potential. And that is why we also can invest in this project, and we do a lot of marketing and sales, and we approach municipalities, and then they call again in Bad Belzig and ask, is the product really good? Is it really working? And then they talk about their experiences. And I think this partnership is very helpful and very crucial also for this project. I don't think that the city alone would have had the time to do all these marketing and sales activities, since they are focusing on what do our citizens need. But for us also, it helped to have this testimonial and to have this first customer who was willing to take a call and talk about it, or come to a convention or some other event and talk about it. And so I would hope that in the future, these public-private partnerships around open source would grow, and that both parties acknowledge the strengths and also the needs of every partner in this situation.
I see. Yeah, that sounds so interesting. If I understand it correctly, then you have on the one hand the channel sort of sales marketing, of course, really showing the product to many, but on the other hand, also crucially, really this community that is emerging anyway, these short ways from peer to peer municipalities asking each other, you know, whether they have actually good references for this use. And it's really both of these that are crucial and contributing to this
exactly
wide adoption. Yeah. And maybe we can dwell on this just a little bit more. How does this reuse, how does this jump of a spark really look more concretely in practice? What is usually needed for another municipality to be onboarded? You know, do they raise their hand? I mean, probably they've heard through one or the other channel about the app, but once they really want to join, how does that look like? What channels do they actually have to really get on board?
The call from one colleague to another that was just mentioned by Philip leads to a document that has to be signed by the mayor of a municipality. Once the budget is clear and the mayor has signed, onboarding is actually a quite straightforward mechanism. A municipality adopts the platform by configuring the modules it needs and the components, and then by integrating its own local content, CI, and services. And what really helps is the shared experience. Municipalities can learn from each other, as we mentioned before. So in case there might be questions, they can call the other municipalities, get more tips and tricks and advices how to maybe produce new content, or how to present the content, or how to make marketing events around the launch of the app. Because what we've also noticed in this discussion is that you need people, you need human power, manpower or women power behind such an app. It does not work automatically, but you always have to introduce new content, new information, new architecture to keep it fresh, to keep it updated, and to have a high identification value for the citizens of the municipalities to come back, to become returning visitors, and to really use it in each and every day life.
I would also add that I think one very crucial point for the success is that we do focus a lot on automation. So whenever you have any information on your website already or in some kind of public accessible database, we are gonna get to that data and crawl it and import it into the app. So I think Conrad is right. You need to put in some effort to promote the app and to talk to your users, to your citizens, and collect their feedback and improve the app over time. But also, you don't have to copy and paste content into it or create a new article every day, because obviously the time in the municipality and the administrative staff is limited. And so we always say, if the information is already out there, if it's published online, we will get it and we will put it into the app. And in Germany, we already found a lot of data sources and databases to collect interesting data.
Right. That sounds so cool, because I think that means that part of the onboarding is then really just a single one-time event, right? Once that's done, if I understood you correctly, Philip, then automation actually does a fair bit of it already. And this leaves more room then maybe to really also engage in community work, in really also some creative endeavors of what to add maybe, or how to steer it again. So maybe a few more notes. Conrad, I think one of your roles, yeah, is to be a community manager in this whole context. Can you tell us a bit more about the community? How does it work? Do you meet more through formal channels or informally, like just some impressions of the community mm-hmm. that has emerged around the Smart Village app?
Well, generally speaking, the community is probably the most important part, as I think. Of course, technology is crucial, but on the other hand, you always need human beings around a technical solution to let it live, to actually let the citizens feel what's going on in their municipality. And without the community, the app would just be another software product. With the community, municipalities exchange experiences and, as we said before, coordinate new features and share development costs. And that makes the process more sustainable and allows even smaller municipalities to use digital tools that they could never ever develop on their own or alone. A community around a digital solution helps ensure its long-term sustainability and supports knowledge sharing on one hand between municipalities, but also inside the municipalities and in between co-workers in the town hall, for example, of one municipality. It also opens up new possibilities for creating content and provides a kind of first and second level support when questions come up about editorial work, roles, or workflows in the app's backend. And there are more examples. And we meet regularly and have formal calls with tables of content and with shared insights, strategic thoughts and organizational thoughts, structural thoughts. And on the other hand, we also call each other informally if we want to know certain details. And this works really well and also increases the contact in between the groups. So we are actually like a class of students that is every now and then doing the same homework and calling each other, as I would say, which is also giving a good vibe into the group. I think most of the participants of our calls leave it with a smile on their face and not with trouble. Because if you enter one of those calls and if you take part, you notice that there's a huge amount of other persons spread across Germany that are actually thinking about the same things, trying to offer the same information and services to their citizens. And this is what makes it a community.
Lovely, lovely. And yeah, fantastic. So there is the community, I think partly then also in the analog world, in really the face-to-face experience or well through direct human interaction, there is also a way of community building happening then really for the technical part of it. And that's really on the platforms where the code is being shared, right? And then also jointly developed. One of these platforms is in Germany, Open Code, that was developed in the past years really to give a clear orientation to all municipalities and to the public sector that is maybe sometimes overwhelmed by GitHub platforms, you know, where really just the pros are often convening. And so the Smart Village app is documented and provided really also on this platform, Open Code, where really many other digitally sovereign software solutions gather. We've said it's open source. Still, what does this practically mean? What are the advantages of it being both on Open Code, also more generally of it being an open source software? What are perhaps also some challenges of that? Yeah, could you tell us a bit more here?
Yeah, that's an difficult question. It has so many layers. Obviously, that the project is open source is totally in our DNA and is something that we really try to live on every aspect. So from a technical standpoint, the app is very open, meaning it is modular. You can change stuff, you can adapt the design, but you can also add functionality. We have partners who are already using this platform to integrate their own tools or services on that, and we are really hoping that this will expand a lot in the future, and so that in itself the Smart Village app will become like an ecosystem where several service providers can offer their functionalities and their services also. It also means that all the data we collect can be reused for other purposes. If you have some kind of monitor in your waiting area, for example, then maybe you want to show some information there, and then you can use that. Or if you need to, for your new chatbot some kind of information, also the data that we have collected in our data hub, which is essentially happening behind the app, is also used for that. You mentioned open code. I think this is a very interesting idea. Obviously, GitHub, as you also mentioned, is the traditional platform for software sharing and for open source projects. But it is owned by a company. So the German states said, well, we want to have something where we can share our stuff and are more sovereign about that. And obviously, a lot of people are looking onto this platform and are looking for solutions on this platform. So it is also a marketing tool for us, obviously. But it also helps us to see what are other people developing and where are their solutions going, what is their roadmap. And that helps us also to connect to other developers and then share stuff or develop ideas how to make a crossover to maybe some kind of participation platform or some new type of digital services. So yeah, I think it is openness and transparency is very crucial for developing in the public sector, and open code is helping a lot.
Right. Yeah. For us, as the International Smart Cities Network, as the ISCN, and I think also for many of our listeners today here, it's also very interesting to think about how knowledge and solutions can maybe even ultimately shared and developed internationally. That would be one of the visions, really. So, looking into that vision, maybe looking ahead into the future, what would it take, maybe, what would you say, for the Smart Village app to be reused, to be adopted, not only 500 kilometers away from cities like Bad Belzig or Linz, but maybe to even make a leap to a municipality that's 3,000 or 5,000 kilometers away from here? More concretely, how much is the solution as it is so far dependent on the German context? What would be needed to extend its scope even further?
Well, I would say, obviously, the concept is totally international. I think every municipality, wherever, needs some kind of tool to communicate with their citizens, to share news, to share disaster warnings. Every community needs a good calendar to know what is going on, where can I take my kids on the weekend. I think this is totally globally something. The project in itself is, at this moment, still a lot of Germans centrified. Konrad talked about the ecosystem, and at this point, we only have German municipalities working with us, and we presented the Smart Village app on the Smart City World Expo in Barcelona actually two times, and we had a lot of international guests and a lot of interest. But I think still, as Konrad already said, it is not only a technical question. It's also a question of knowledge sharing and of communication and sharing your experiences. And this becomes a lot harder once you have to traverse cultural barriers and all that. So up to this point, from a technical standpoint, the code is there. Everybody can pick it up and can use it for international things. As I said, it's quite modular, so you don't have to use everything. And you don't have to use the things that are more tied to special German things. But right now, this is not happening. And obviously, for an open source project, funding is always a crucial point. So I think at some point, we will have to look for international funding, maybe to do this step. It is something that we hope that it will happen, but it's something that we will have to work on.
And coming back to this years as references, probably for a bigger and larger jump, you need this one pioneering also city and actor. And maybe once that exists, it's also easier for the others around that context and in that region really to put more trust in such a solution, because you can of course pick up the phone and call, but that's to give you 5,000 kilometers away. But it's nicer to do that with the municipality next door. Thanks.
If I can maybe add just one thing, I think, yes, one pioneer municipality would be great, but then also one pioneer partner would also probably be needed, someone who understands the local cultural things and who is willing and able to dive deep into the technical stuff. So I would ask your listeners, if somebody is interested, please reach out to us, to Konrad or me. We are very open and interested to get in touch with partners, and maybe your podcast can help us doing this step that's still needed.
I'd like to add one more thing as well. I think the problems municipalities are facing all across the globe are comparable. I mean, there's always individual aspects, but I think, for example, providing information or an event calendar or the basic citizen service information you are expecting from a government, from an administration, you can compare the process or the dynamics all across the world. And also special components, as for example, flood warning systems or wildfire warning systems, are features that are used in Germany, but might be very, very useful in different parts of the world as well. It is adaptable. And as Philip just said, we are really interested in finding out new cases and are really happy if you call us and if we can pick up the phone and also talk about the needs, for example, in a different country, in a on a different continent.
Great. Yeah, sounds exciting. And hopefully there will be such contacts happening. With the second to last question, actually, already, I wanted to have just a quick look at the numbers, meaning, yeah, maybe you can share a bit also about some metrics or quantitative, let's say, dynamics that you can observe. The reason I'm asking this is that the other day I read that most apps actually are uninstalled within the first 30 days of their installation, and only 6 to 9% survive for longer on the phone of the users. I'm guessing that's a bit different for an app like the Smart Village app that's representing, of course, the municipal administration. And we'd hope that there is a stronger loyalty for this app and the information and the services that it provides. Still, any metrics, any dynamics that you see, how does it look like? How is the user engagement? Do you even monitor some of these or rather not? Is there any numbers, in short?
That's a very, very good question. We are using Matomo instead of Google Analytics to track, and therefore have insights. And as I mentioned before, with this new component giving information on flood and flood water, we could notice that the number of users increased even by 3 times. And this means that instead of, for example, 1 to 1,500 inhabitants using the app, it grows up to 4,000 to 4,500 in a period of less than 1 month. This is, for me, still a little mind-blowing, but on the other hand, it's pretty clear why, because the information given is really crucial and important for the citizens. And I think retention is really the key challenge for most apps. In general app statistics, it's true that many applications disappear from people's phones quite quickly. What we observe with the Smart Village app is a bit different because it's not designed as a one-time service, but more as a daily local information hub. And across the municipalities, we see that usage increases with when the app becomes relevant for everyday life, as I just tried to depict with this example. But there are other features like waste collection calendar, local news, events, or even push notifications on climate warnings are particularly important for this. And in one municipality, we have the flood warning system. In another, we try to establish a wildfire warning system. And after introducing this feature, daily active users might double or even triple. And as the community coordinating the app, we regularly monitor metrics, but on the other hand, are also interested in different indicators provided by the users and the municipalities, rather qualitative aspects. You can also notice that, for example, when you introduce such an app, there are more citizens coming to, let's say, the town hall, to the citizen's office, and start asking questions in an analog space. And also by that, you can find out very important insights on, for example, how the user interfaces of the app should be designed for elder or for younger or for bodily disabled persons, for example, that might not be able to see as well as others. So also by that, you gain very, very important insights.
Yeah, I mean, we do focus on privacy by design and privacy by default. So we do not track every user. Users have to opt in. They have to allow us to track their usage. So even though we do have some numbers, they are always just a part of the whole picture. There are municipalities who are not working with us in using and building their own apps. So we do not, they are not part of the community and they are not using our commercial services, which is totally fine. So also there we don't really know the numbers. So I can't give you any total numbers of users or downloads. But in the municipalities that are really working a lot with the apps, we know that they reach up to 50% of their citizens, which I think is quite good. And it essentially means that once you push out some information, it will reach most of your citizens quite quickly. There's a disaster warning day in Germany once a year. The whole infrastructure is being tested. And when this happens, we send out several thousand, hundred thousand of push notifications in a very short time period of just a few minutes. So that is also an indicator that there are already several hundred thousand users scattered across these more than 50 app projects that are using our basic technology.
Amazing, yeah. I mean, a 50% share within a municipality is really tremendous. Wow. Somewhat sadly, we're coming to an end already of this conversation. I'm enjoying it very much. But yeah, maybe just lastly, a little bit of an outlook, maybe a look into the future. What do you think, what does the future hold for the Smart Village app? And maybe even more broadly, in a more abstract manner, what does the future hold for the interface between the citizen and the municipality? Do you have some thoughts on that?
In my view, the future of the Smart Village app is less about single product and more about building a shared digital infrastructure for municipalities, or to use the new term that has come up in the last weeks, as shared service center. What we see today is that many towns and districts face the same challenges. They want to communicate better, to provide services digitally and to connect local actors, but they often have to solve these problems alone, their own budgets. The idea behind the Smart Village app community is to change that by collaborating across municipalities. They can jointly develop features, share knowledge, and build solutions that are open and reusable and sustainable. This makes innovation much faster and more affordable, especially for smaller municipalities that otherwise wouldn't have the capacities to develop their own digital tools. And more broadly, I think the interface between citizens and municipalities will become much more integrated, service-oriented, and local. Instead of many fragmented websites and platforms, citizens will expect one simple digital entry point for local information in one design and in one practical interface, and offering an entry point for local information, citizen participation, and citizen services. Ideally, these systems will be built collaboratively and based on open standards and open source, so that municipalities remain in control of their digital infrastructure and can keep on doing what they do best. And I think, in one sentence, if municipalities collaborate instead of building isolated solutions, digital public services can evolve much faster and become more sustainable. And this is actually, it counts for the whole world, as I would say, not only for Germany.
Well, you know, we managed to talk nearly an hour now without mentioning artificial intelligence. And I think I can't end without going there, even though this is such a hype topic right now. But Yeah, obviously, a lot is going to change on the question of interface between citizen and municipality, and probably we will be doing a lot of more of chatting with chatbots in between, but still, they need to be somewhere. I, as a citizen, I need to have a trusted source and trusted environment where I know that this chatbot is actually answering in a trustworthy way, and so I'll probably not use the commercial chatbot, but maybe some chatbot that is provided by the state or by a municipality. And even though I might be talking to that chatbot, I still want to see maybe the form I have just filled out through the help of the chatbot before I send it over to my municipality. So I think we will still have apps over the next years, and there's a lot of integration going on around this thing. It helps us a lot to use new data sources. It's getting much easier to connect to new data sources because we don't need APIs in the right format, and you can just use AI to collect this data. So also the apps are going to be even more helpful and even have more data in it. And we are doing a project right now where we are helping a museum to approach new visitors through AI personalized virtual guides. And I think this is also very exciting and can could be transferred to so many other areas, like in nature or like discovering historical sites or something like that. So yeah, for me, the future is a lot about AI and the possibilities to add this into the app also.
Great. So I'm so happy we landed just here because, yeah, Konrad already struck a very positive and optimistic tone for the future we all have. And I think we really do need that. And it's even better then that Philip did bring AI into this discussion. And nonetheless, I think we stay also with a positive vision for the future. Great. Fantastic. Thank you so very much for this wonderful and insightful conversation, one that can always continue. That's the beauty of a network. So, yeah, let's stay in touch, all of you, and looking forward with you to see what the future holds. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.